Well, God bless all my brothers and sisters of faith who have set their love upon the Lord who dwells on high. He's lifted up even as Isaiah the prophet saw him in chapter 6 of his book, which we read a bit of that yesterday. But of course, Isaiah, he's also the prophet of the Messiah, the rejected Messiah, who in Isaiah 53 saw the Lord beaten and bruised, the stripes laid upon him. What a contrast. As he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and he also saw him as the lamb who was slain, and all the things that Isaiah 53 speaks of. And courage of faith that works by the power of love tells you the whole story of he with whom we have to do. That's written as a gift to us, inspired by the giver of all blessings, as the king and also the lamb that was slain. So, we've been speaking about faith and what can faith do, or put in opposite terms, what can faith not do? It can do anything and everything. It can stop the mouths of lions. It can move mountains. Faith created a universe, and it can give rest to the weary, and faith can save a soul. It's wonderful to rejoice in what faith can do. And all the majesty and power of the Lord's voice speaks to that fact. So in greatness of faith, we just come to the final part of this week's devotionals. And I do want to thank the Lord for all the voices that speak to the holiness of what God has done. From the thoughts expressed by the pastors, the brothers who take up the mantle of witness and carry on, all of us together, we're entered into one another's witness and spiritual labors. We're one body of fellowship together. And also to the sisters and brothers for the kind and encouraging words that give such great reward as we go about our various journeys on the upward way. To know that faith is alive, that gives strength to us all, even as Jesus himself put it. For he said, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith upon the earth? So all of your voices by sound or by written text of agreement speak to that fact indeed that faith will survive. And thank the Lord for that. That's the test. That's the journey. That's the mission, to be part of that which will live forever in Jesus' name. So may the Lord just bless you in a forever way, even as he has committed his word to do that very thing in order to give you life and abundance of blessing. And all the heroes of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, all of them have this in common. They were moved by the belief that sees greater things in Christ. All those mentioned did not live in the flesh to see the day of the Messiah and his birth in Bethlehem, but they sure helped us get there by their pilgrimage as they looked for a city whose builder and maker was God. In his time, Abraham rejoiced to see the day that was fulfilled in Christ. He saw from afar the end result of all that he had longed for. And that same hope, that same faith, it sustains us now. It provides spiritual ground, for as the Master said, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So that's how we live. It's how we came to life in the first place, when the man and consequently the woman were given the breath of life. Now, for our few moments that we have today, of course, faith is the theme, and it always is in every subject that we preach. But we'll put our thoughts to the aspect of faith that sees purpose in all that God does. Even when we don't know all the way of it, yet we do know it will bring about the abundant seed that grows within. For God's word will not return unto him void of its purpose in what he has set it out to do. And there must be those who recognize their calling. And we'll have example of that upcoming, of course. Because the Lord fills heaven and earth, and in all manner of truth, you know there's really nothing apart from that fact. We live and move and have our being within the Lord, who does indeed fill heaven and earth. In every way, our existence depends upon Him, and there would be nothing without that eternal truth. So, just to establish every yea and amen, let's turn our attention first to the book of Isaiah. It'll be a reading from Isaiah chapter 44. And we'll start at the 6th verse and read through verse 8. Isaiah 44:6 reads, "Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and His Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. And who as I shall call and shall declare it, and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people, and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? Ye are even my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any." There can only be one God, because there's only one truth. And God is that Spirit of truth that fills heaven and earth. And so here we see that we follow a calling. For the Lord says, "Who as I shall call and declare it?" There have to be those who follow the calling from above. And our faith and the greatness of it, it's drawn from certain knowledge. We do have foundations. Our faith's not blind faith, as many in the world would say. They don't see any visible image of God, and so will not accept any of the other evidence, evidence that is in abundance. There's a gospel written in creation. There's prophecy fulfilled in our gospel. The proofs of God's holiness and the oneness of His name are many. The testimony of Jesus lives in bringing His word to pass by the seeing of it being accomplished. And from that vantage point, the evidence of His presence is seen. And who shall call other than the Lord? Who will make it sure other than the Lord? There is a call gone out. It shows in those five of the ten virgins of the Matthew 25 parable, who were wise and had enough oil in their lamps to be ready to meet the test. For you don't know the day nor the hour of His appearing. But at the midnight cry, you have to be ready. At the unexpected hour, it's time to rise up out of the darkness of that prophetic time. God will prove Himself out at that call. Just be ready to meet Him. The Lord prepares us for that moment, just as surely as He prepared the fish or the whale that swallowed up Jonah, the reluctant prophet. When God has raised up a person for a purpose, He will see to it that that purpose is accomplished. Jeremiah the prophet, the Lord raised him up for a very specific reason. He said, "Even this, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and you're appointed and ordained," in Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5. Nonetheless, God allows choice. He does not take away freedom to choose, but He will bring you back if you make a bad choice, like as Jonah did in his book. And that's the calling. It's up to you as to the obedience. So this portion of Scripture, it comes out of the vision promise here in Isaiah 44 of restoration amid all the hardness of heart and lack of spiritual courage of the day that Isaiah had to contend with. The Lord of hosts, He stirs the heart and appeals to the soul and thoughts of all those who will listen and who will be ready to become instruments of salvation in the hands of the living God. We have to be ready for that call. And he who has an ear has to be ready for what the Spirit has to say unto the churches in our own day. These are commandments of faith, but they're also pleas from the Almighty God who does fill heaven and earth. Remember, Jesus pleaded with that generation that He was sent to? He asked them in John chapter 10, verse 38, essentially, "Can you just believe me for the very work's sake? Can you just do that much at least?" Even if you don't believe in my calling of being the chosen one, Messiah, can you just see the works? Well, sadly, he was rejected. But that fulfilled scripture. But even in that, it brings to life the word that Isaiah spoke in chapter 53 of his book that he foresaw. In the precept of the stone refused, the rejection of Jesus, rejection of the Messiah. So the plea is to seek truth and have courage and be ready to hear the call. And to do that and to look at a scriptural example, I'd like to turn to the book of Esther. Esther chapter 4. And this is the story of those in exile under the dominance of the Persian kings who took down the power of Babylon, if you'll remember, in the book of Daniel, when the handwriting was on the wall. And in due course, in the process of time, Esther comes into favor as the queen to Artaxerxes or Ahasuerus, the ruler of the Persian Empire. And her uncle Mordecai becomes aware of a plot to destroy the people of Israel. So Mordecai comes to the only course that he sees left open to him and implores Esther to make a supplication before the king. And upon saying that she risks death in doing so, for if one comes to the king unbidden, in its death, unless he holds out the royal scepter, against the backdrop of all that, we come to Esther chapter 4 and verse 13, and Mordecai's reply. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, "Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Now, if ever a book was written in order to highlight one verse, it's the book of Esther, there in verse 14. This shows us that we have freedom of our own will to choose as we may. Our choices are our own. It tells us that victory will come some other way if we choose not to be a part of it. But victory will come. And Esther contains more than one lesson, of course, including this thought that those who want to see people hang, you just might end up at the end of your own rope. And in Christ, the law that said, "Cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree," well, that turned to victory, and it removed the curse by the power of the third day as resurrection power came forth. So these acts of faith helped establish what was to come in Christ. For a brave woman made a courageous choice to be part of the deliverance of her own people. She risked her life in the process. And because of the inner greatness of faith held within, she believed in what her uncle said to her. Maybe God put you in this place at this very moment to be an instrument of salvation, to save your people. It reminds me of like it was when Joseph was sold into slavery in Egypt, but the Lord brought Joseph to the right place in the right time to be an instrument of salvation in a time of famine to his brethren, who were the fathers of the tribes of Israel. So if you choose wrongly, relief and salvation, or in the words of the King James, enlargement and deliverance will come, but you'll be left out. So you have to decide right now if you're a part of this or not. So we learn that God will bring to pass his salvation, but it's up to us. We choose whether we're part of it or whether we're not. And faith determines our will by our choices. And our time right now is at hand to make the decision for Christ and to be a part of all that he is. And together, we'll see what faith does in Jesus' name. So stay the course, everyone. I've been blessed here this week to be able to share words of faith with you. So I just like to encourage everyone to keep on keeping in Jesus' name. And I'll see you on the victory side. God bless you, everyone.